Good morning, everyone. Here we are. We're going to do Q&A day. Now, I would love to focus a lot of the questions on urges since that's what we're studying this month. But if for some reason you have questions about something else, please feel free to ask those. Let me get the lighting correct. And while we're all pouring in, let me tell you guys a little something exciting. So I don't know if some of you accidentally get on a mailing list when we open and such. There is a call tonight called Ask Corinne Anything. This is really a call for people who are interested in joining the tribe. So the majority of this is going to be me giving them a tour of the website and then answering a lot of questions about joining and setting aside fears and all this other kind of stuff. You guys are welcome to come if you want. I know how you're always like, oh my God, if you say something, I want to be there. But I'm just saying, we have plenty of content up this week, and there's probably a much better use of your tribe time than to be on that call. But if you got the email and for some reason you want to be there, you can be there. If you have a question, you can ask it. But honestly, it's a lot of me talking about how amazing the tribe is. And so I just don't want any of you feeling like you're missing out on something or whatever. I just want to let you know you're not missing out on anything. This is a call like most of you before you joined the tribe. I always do some kind of a training or I always do some kind of something just to help people understand what they're getting into. Because this is the thing. It's like, I want people to totally understand what we are, what I'm about. I don't want them to think they're coming in here and getting meal plans and all that other kind of stuff. I want them to really understand you're here to do your mental work. And this is why. And if you've got mental bullshit preventing you, let me help you with that part. But I just also don't want a bunch of people joining and then being like, where's my food list? I really thought there'd be a food list because every other diet out there has one. It's like, no, we don't do that. So that's what tonight is all about. Like I said, in this particular one, I will not be training something new. If I thought that I was going to drop wisdom on them somehow that you all would benefit, I for sure would say be there. But honestly, it's for them to have the opportunity to talk to me like before they decide to join the tribe. Now, with all that said, y'all go ahead and start using hashtag ask. If you have a question, this is the call to do that. Kathy, can you please post that in the comments also? The thing about tomorrow is this is a one day only opening. I've never done that. We are only opening because when we closed in April for all the April babies, I said we would open again. And I just don't want to be douchey and be like, oh, I said we'd open and we didn't, like, you know, spank you for not getting in. A lot of people, it can be about anything. It doesn't have to just be about urges. It can be about anything. I just want some urge questions, guys. This is the thing. It's like, I don't want to be that douchey person that makes it seem as if you didn't get in. So you don't, I'm now holding over or whatever. So we said we would open. I never said how long we'd open. So we're doing one day. So tonight they're getting a call. I will answer the questions. And at the end, the website will go live. And then tomorrow night at midnight, the website will go down. So we are only letting and whoever can join within that. Basically, it's a little bit more than 24 hours, but we usually just try to stay open until, we used to stay open until 10. Now we stay open until midnight because most people, people understand midnight for some reason way better than they understand 10. So it's just to cut confusion and support emails on our side so we're not answering those. And then that's it. So if you have friends who want in, they need to join tomorrow. It's real simple. They just need to go to www.pnptribe.com. If you're not a member, you'll see the page to sign up. If you're a member, you get the login button or you're automatically logging in. So that's just where they need to go. And then, I don't have my messages on. And then they'll be in this tribe. If they're, if you're wondering like, well, when will the next tribe opening be? It will be sometime in September. I think it's going to be closer to the front end of September, but, we haven't officially set the date yet. It's all going to depend on, if Chris and I go to Vegas for his birthday. We plan everything around, the crab trees. Like this summer, Like, one of the reasons why we're only taking a few amount of people, like, we're not, like, I think our last opening was right at 2,600 people joined. And we're only opening for a day because the Crabtrees, you know, Mr. King, he retired and he's now working full time for us. We have, like, this summer of spending time together, training our son on how to do coding and how to actually do some family business. Like, we're teaching him that stuff. So I think it's just super important to spend time with him this summer and really appreciate all that we have. And the best way for me to be able to be like as amazing as I can for you guys is to make sure that we're just balancing everything. So we open for just like it's a one day only show, and then we're going to close down again, and that will be it. We are going to start letting the Saturday there will be a new member orientation call where I'll just be talking all things that are important for new members. All of you are welcome to come to it. It's on the training calendar, so it's not like we've hidden it. It's right there, smack dab on the tribe training calendar. So if you go to pnptribe.com, you scroll down, you'll see our training calendar. Feel free to join. You can ask any question you want. This is the thing. Even though it's a new member orientation, I'm going to start it with just kind of talking about things that members need, like, you know, how to not be overwhelmed and how to, like, go at your own pace and, you know, how to just watch your own paper, not watch your neighbor's paper. We're going to be talking about all those concepts. But I also love it when we have newbies, because here's a couple of cool things that happen. One, when we have newbies come into the tribe, for all of you who are kind of like rocking and rolling, you can answer questions and it helps you solidify your learning. I'm going to tell you, like, always when you're helping someone, think about this. It helps you really understand how far you've come. Every time you're able to answer a question and tell somebody, it's like signaling to your brain, let's really make this a habit. This is the stuff we know. So that when you go off plan and stuff, your brain doesn't have to immediately go to, oh my God, I got to start all over. Y'all never have to start all over. You always know the basics. You always know way more than you give yourself credit for. But when you indulge in that bullshit behavior in your brain, it feels a lot harder to start. Every time you make a mistake, it taps on your insecurity that you don't know anything. You have to be very mindful about what goes on in your brain. So when we have newbies, one of the neat things is that as you answer questions, you start getting a lot of like internal validation on what you know. The other amazing thing about when we have newbies that I find super helpful is a lot of you don't know what you don't know. So there's like things like, oh, I listened to that no BS, Corinne. I get it. And then newbies, they're always asking all the questions and they will ask things about, oh shit, what? Like, I didn't hear that part. Like, it just brings up a lot of really good conversation. It reminds us all of the little things that we forget. It reminds us also what's important. We get so sometimes like hanging on to a belief that this all has to be complicated and everything. And when we just keep driving home that, no, it's really just these four basics. No, it's really just this. It's like, let's just uncover how we're thinking stuff. It really helps you prove like, oh, okay, this is what it's supposed to be. So I just think it's always great. That's why we like to do it once a quarter. Because when we open once a quarter, guess what? Once a quarter, everybody's getting reminded of what the fuck we're supposed to know to lose weight. Boom. All right, let's see some questions. Can you please explain the crowns earned for resisting urges? Angela, we are not resisting urges. Everyone, take a collective moment to hear the words coming out of my mouth. Resisting is like fighting. Resisting is not what we're doing. Resisting is hard. I want you to think about what it feels like to resist something. So everybody stop saying that we are resisting urges. What are we doing, everyone? We are dismissing them. We are allowing them. We're doing it the easy way. Okay? That's what we want to train our brain. We want to quit training our brain that this is a fucking war, a battle. Like, you know, the fight of my life, my struggle. Like, we gotta quit thinking about it this way. Guys, the more you think about it that way, you're gonna collect and prove to yourself, this is a big ass problem, rather than this is what I'm working on. You can look at, like, y'all wanna hang on to some kind of painful something or other around this is my problem I'm working on, or like, this is what I'm working on. We can just drop the word problem right on out of there. I promise you, it is such a different mindset completely. So what the crowns do is when you eat to solve an urge. So everybody has an urge and it's going to end. It's going to end in one in two ways. You are going to dismiss it and sit with it and let it pass. And you're going to collect a crown, and that's going to give you a little bitty dopamine hit. It's going to reinforce like, oh, I'm collecting my crowns. This feels good. I'd really like to see this whole page filled, all that kind of stuff. Or you're going to shove the ding dong in your mouth and feel like an asshat the next day and feel guilty and feel shame, and you don't get a crown. But you're going to, when you get the ding dong, immediately feel an increased amount of sense of dopamine, some reassurance that, oh, we completed the cycle. This is the thing. Your brain, when it talks about, when it's thinking about urges, guys, it's not thinking about like your greater goals. Remember, urges always come from your unconscious brain. They do not come from your conscious brain. So your goals are kept in the conscious part of your brain. They're not kept in the habit part of the brain or the unconscious brain. So your unconscious brain is like, traffic. This sucks. We feel burdened or stressed. We start thinking about food. And the result is we have sucky thoughts. So then we go home, see chips. That looks good. We have an urge. We eat, and then we don't do what's good for us. We do what's good in the moment, not long term. So what happens is when you complete that cycle, you have rewarded your brain with dopamine, like, oh, this is the cycle we want to keep doing. Oh, this is the cycle we want to keep doing. Oh, this is the cycle we want to keep doing. What we want to do is we want to give it a new reward for a new cycle. So if the cycle is going to be, this looks good, urge, oh, this is an urge. And I knew it was going to be coming because when I was in the damn car, I was sitting there daydreaming about some chips. Or when I was in the car, I was getting all worked up. And I also know that every day when I come home after some, if the traffic's bad, I'm more likely to eat. Like, you got to be prepared. It's like incoming urge. Now I'm going to like sit with it. I'm going to listen to it. And the crown is a reward for not responding. And the crown is where it reminds you of like, oh, like my greater good was taken into consideration. The crown is earned because you turned on your thinking brain. And you allowed it to have a conversation with your habit brain. That's a good question. I have grown to dread my current job. I have a plan to leave, but it will take several months before I can make the switch. In the meantime, how do I manage my thoughts and at least be okay with not liking where I'm at now? You don't want to be okay with not liking where you're at. You want to get to where you can actually be there and just be okay with being there. That's more of what you're looking for. You're trying to say like, I just want to hang on to a little hate and venom and like the idea of me having hate and venom. That never happens. You need to just be at the job and just be like, I got a plan to leave. I don't need to sit here and hate on it anymore. I have a plan. Everything that's annoying me, it doesn't matter. Like, I need to just quit being annoyed because my ass is leaving. Like, you need to think about that. Like, you're choosing for some reason to stay in judgment and everything. It's like, look, if you're leaving, why do you need to put unnecessary suffering on yourself? What? Why is it so important that you not like it until then so that and try to like the idea that you're not liking it? Like, you think you not liking it is a circumstance. No, it's always a choice. Whatever is going on in your job is all created because of how you're deciding to think about that job. You don't have to think it's rainbows and daisies, but you also could just be thinking like, it gives me a paycheck. Thank God I have it until I start my new job. They can act any way they want as long as money hits the bank. Like, whatever is going on for you, you need to probably list out your 10 thoughts about your job that create negative feeling in you and take that to ask coaches. Because all of that is you. That is not your job. Your job's name, your boss's name, and how much money you make, that and your benefits, that's your circumstance. Everything else, like my boss yells at me, that is not a circumstance. Guys, for all of you, the way your boss talks to you is not a circumstance. If you're describing it, it's not a circumstance. If there's an adjective involved, it's not a circumstance. It's like, my boss said, you do a terrible job every day, but I would like for you to stay for 10 extra hours. That's a circumstance. And if you think that sucks, that's your thought about it. Whereas someone who came from a third world country would just be like, I'll take that every day over starving. That's how we know it's a thought. Now, it doesn't mean that you need to sit there and be like, well, that's fair or that's amazing or whatever. But what you want to do is you want to drop into accepting, like, I don't like this. This is not the kind of job I would like to work in. I'm generating that feeling, not my boss. Because the second you turn over your feelings to your job, guys, seriously, you're teaching, your result is I teach myself to not be responsible for me. That ends up being the unintended consequence of not owning that when you don't like something, it's all because of you, not because of the job. And if you want to feel better about your job, that is on you and not the job. As soon as I get home, I'm having a problem. I am hungry, but trying to wait till supper. I am having one day. I am extremely tired or feel good all in the same week. I don't know what to do with myself. I push myself and it's hard to just sit and rest because it feels like I'm doing something wrong just sitting. Your problem isn't the hunger. I'm going to tell you right now, Joan, decide right now, my problem is not hunger. You have a bigger problem staring you in the face. You think you're doing something wrong by sitting. Somehow you're trying to work it in like, no, I should be eating. That would be the right thing to do. The reason why it's uncomfortable is because you're judging the sitting. You need to figure out what your judgments around that is. If it feels wrong, it's because you have judgment on it. Figure that piece out. Spend way more time reconciling why it feels bad to just sit and why you want to distract. Because if you've got thoughts there that are wanting you to distract from those thoughts with food, that's all that's happening. Is social media considered an urge when you are trying to get to bed at 9 p.m.? Yeah. Like, let me just ask you this. If you're trying to go to bed at 9 o'clock and I said, go have ding dongs instead. That'll make you sleep. That's no different than y'all like, let me just check Facebook one more time. Look, if you're prioritizing your sleep, get off your damn phones, y'all. I don't take my phone with me before bed. And I trust me, I love y'all more than like, well, now I do love this cat pretty much. But let me just say, y'all are a close second to sweet. Just look at her. She sleeps there every day while mama works all day. And then like what she does is at like around 5, she thinks we should be like going to bed. So she gets up and she starts crying through the hallways until I eventually go to bed. And then she like gets back in bed. She's not exactly a workhorse, but she'll do. But here's the thing. You need to make sure that if you're prioritizing your sleep, that you're prioritizing your sleep. Like, I love y'all, but I don't take you to bed with me. It's like saying, like, who all are you taking? When you take your phone to bed, it's like saying, hey, y'all, let's just everybody pile up under the covers and see if we can go to sleep. That's what you're doing when you bring Facebook and the world into it. How do you connect thoughts and awareness to action? Sometimes I know what's happening during an overeat, for example, but I still do it. How to strengthen my frontal brain? Just practice. Yeah, Karen, it just takes time. So like, even if you know the thought that's triggering it, sometimes it's going to take a few times before you catch the thought happening. That's why it's really important to do recovery worksheets, because the more often you do them, you'll catch the same thought over and over again to eventually you'll hear yourself think it. And then it's going to be like, once you hear yourself thinking it, then what you want to do is you want to start putting in like, well, when I think that, like, I want to tell myself I'm going to go sit for 5 minutes. I can't eat for 5 minutes. I've got to let it burn off, whatever it is. You can do the 90-second countdown, whatever that is. For some of you, we call this pausing the model. So there's different places in the model that you can pause. The most of you, what's happening is when you join PNP, you're catching your ineffective model at the result line, which is way too late, right? You're catching it when weight has been gained. It's like, oh, you know, why am I gaining all this weight? Why am I feeling so miserable? Oh, it's because of all these overeats, which is in the action line, right? then what happens is we start teaching you all kinds of awareness and all this kind of junk. So you start watching your life. Like, you start plugging in the new stuff, but some of the old stuff keeps coming along for the ride. So you start watching your life, just watching it all go by. And you notice, like, I'm still overeating, but you're catching yourself in the middle of overeating. That is like the first pause you want. You want to catch yourself like, oh my gosh, I'm overeating. I'm going to stop in the middle. I'm going to stop at the end. I'm going to stop one bite before I finish. Practicing that stop in the action line is huge. Most of you, what you want to do is like, I just want to stop that overeating before it even gets started. That's amazing. But most people discount the value of stopping in other areas. You learn so many skills just learning how to stop. Like this morning, so I've been really trying to dial into making sure I'm honoring my hunger scale. So I've been talking about these damn urges so much here lately. And so this morning I was eating my breakfast and I ate like half of we eat these little bacon wrapped weenies. And I was about halfway through and I was like, I like literally think I need to just stop. And like, I was having all this inner dialogue and I said, you know what? I think I am going to stop. I'm just going to stop. And I just put it away. And it was just curious to me because you get to stop whenever you want. But most of us, what we do is we have so much judgment that we're already overeating that we just keep going. And it's like, what if you had no judgment over it? Like if you literally had no judgment over your overeats, you'd just stop them when you caught them. It would not be a big deal. Think about how many times you've been like in the process of overeating. Hang on, I gotta like tuck my bangs down, y'all. It's driving me crazy. Think about how many times you've been in the process of overeating. If you had just stopped in the middle of a binge, or towards the end of a binge, or towards the middle of a really good meal that just tastes so good, or whatever, and you had no judgment over like, well, I've kind of already blew it. I'm already eating and whatnot. Like, how much weight would you have lost if you just didn't have judgment over that piece? It is amazing and a lot. So it's like understanding that the model pauses in different areas. So there's this, the first level of awareness is when you start noticing, oh, like I'm pausing in the middle of an overeat. That's interesting. That's amazing. That's good. The next is you start feeling that urge, which is kind of what we're focused on this month. It's like, I have an urge, like I just want to eat and I'm noticing it and it's being able to stop there and pause that model rather than going through with the overeat. Then what happens is once you get really good at that, you start understanding like, well, why are these urges coming anyway? Oh, a lot of times I have an urge to overeat when I think that looks good. It tastes so good. I don't want to stop. I want it. I've had a long day. This will be fun. Or like, I can't handle this emotion, whatever it is. It's 4 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. It's like 8 o'clock and they're all in bed. Whatever the thought is, you start understanding like when you feel the urge, you start pausing. You start watching the urge. Then when you start getting to where you're doing that, you start noticing the thoughts. And then as you notice more and more of them, you start noticing your pattern thoughts and you start hearing them when they first enter your brain, rather than having to do a recovery worksheet to figure out what you were thinking. And then when you get really good at understanding, these are the things I think, they start becoming a red flag. And you're like, oh, that's that thing I think. Then you can start the front part of the brain with the negotiation of like, you know, are we gonna do this? Like, we've been really wanting to lose weight and stuff. Like, let's sit here, let's watch it, let's do these things. That's how you end up like starting to gain authority. So there's just different points within the model and then different points within the overeating process that pause and redirect can happen. I promise you, if all of you stop your judgment on the process, thinking it's too hard, it's too much work, it'll never work, I'm no good at this, I don't understand it. Like, if you will quit all of that bullshit and just work on it, you'll get there faster. All of those other thoughts, it's basically, it's funny because I've been talking about this for a while, but my mentor had a podcast on it today. Your judgment over the process is what's slowing most of you down. And when you can clean up and set aside the judgment side of the process, it will speed things up. Just like when you can set, like, I'm just telling you guys, judgment of self and judgment over what you're doing when it comes to weight loss is the, like, if you want to put the brakes on all of your progress, that's exactly how you do it. It puts you into dead stop mode because you got to overcome the judgment first, because the judgment is going to have different actions than just being like, this is how it works, in total acceptance of this is just the process. There's nothing to be upset about here. There's nothing to be worried about. There's nothing to be frightened of. This is the process. That's it. I am on day 3 giving in to intense period urges. Your period doesn't cause urges. Stop thinking that immediately. You know how we know? Because probably when you were a teenager, you didn't have these same urges. You've taught yourself over time to eat on your period, to make yourself feel better. You've read articles that say these things make you crave whatever. Okay. You have cravings, but you thinking that your period's calling and that they're intense cravings. Cravings and urges do not have a barometer on them. You know what made the barometer for these urges? Your thought that they're worse on your period. You need to quit judging them. They're just urges. You got to take down the emotional level like 100% right now. That is why you're giving in to them. If you think they're intense and you think they're big and hairy and monstrous and harder during your period and all this other stuff, you're not going to be able to come up with the action line that allows you to sit, have patience, or anything. Let's see what else. After I make peace, make my next plan, then face plant into an urge. Can't wait for my hormones to settle. But for now, help. Quit judging your hormones. You're doing all of this. Like, quit blaming your period. This is no different than saying, if my husband didn't offer me pizza. You're saying, if my uterus didn't send up bullshit. Look, you're going to have a period every month and you're going to have some hormones. Work with it or whine about it. All of you need to hear that. I have a period every month. All y'all know, I have to wear a damn diaper when I have it. It ain't a pretty scene. I have cravings too. You know what I do? I make a 24-hour plan. I make one that's very reasonable for being on my period. And I move along with life. I don't act like I'm a victim to my period. Doesn't mean I sit there and I'm like, well, I love my period. No, you know what I sit there and think? My period is not a reason to shit on my dreams and goals. Just like I feel the same about depression. I feel the same about a lot of things. These things are not a reason to shit on my goals. The second I start trying to make that as a good reason or a good excuse or an escape hatch, guess what? I've decided to eat. You're just deciding to eat because of how you're describing your period rather than thinking about what you ultimately want while having a period. There are times that I notice my urges before and can implement one of the 3 ways to take new action during the day. But during the evening, it's like I move right from urge to action. How can I slow the process down to better let my conscious brain take action? I feel like after 6, my urge brain is just louder than my logical self, and I struggle to stop and say no. You need some stop gates. You need to you need to break down how it's happening. Like, go back. It's happening the same sad ass way every damn day. You know that. It is not like every single night is hitting you by surprise. There's certain foods you eat, there's certain times it hits. There are certain places and blah, blah, blah. You're going to change up the game. That's it. This is not a surprise. And they're not louder. You just got to put in some more like stuff to slow it down to start talking better. Like every single night, like if you know at 8:00 it's going to be hard for you, guys, get out your journals at 7:30 and write a letter to yourself about what you want in your life. The price you're willing to pay to get there. The stuff you're sick and tired of thinking about. The reason why you are sold on doing this for the last time. write that letter every single night. Now, let me just tell you, your brain's going to be like, some bullshit. Let's just try to sit here. And then it's going to like kick into high gear again. You've got to figure out a way to like do something different if you want a different result. That's going to start with not thinking that at night it's harder. It's going to start with, tonight I'm doing something different. And I'm going to try something different until I figure out the formula. And that's how we're rolling. Using the buffering course for my phone and social media games. Is keeping my phone in my purse or bedroom a good way to manage an urge? I'm not really sure what this question is about. Is keeping my phone in my purse or bedroom a good way to manage an urge? I'm not sure. Like, if you're going to be, I don't really understand. Tara, can you just ask that again? Because I'm not really sure what that means. I wrote a TDL on this today. Why am I afraid to lose weight? I want to choose my weight loss over food. I know I do, but why do I still choose to eat off plan or overeat? It's decreasing in frequency, so I think I'm on the right track over my weight loss goal. If it's decreasing in frequency, I just would keep doing what you're doing. You might be asking the wrong question. You need to decide, are you afraid to lose weight or are you afraid to quit overeating? Some of you think you're afraid to lose weight, and I think sometimes you're asking yourself the wrong question. It's like, I'm afraid of what my life will look like if I don't eat. I'm afraid of what I'm going to be thinking. I'm afraid of like, how am I going to entertain myself? How am I going to be with myself and that kind of stuff? Maybe look in there. And the reason why I'm saying that, Amaka, is just based upon some of the things that we've coached on when it comes to your mental game. And you have a lot of fat girl thinking and stuff. You're probably more afraid of what your life will be like without the eating because you're going to be left with a lot of time with yourself. And a lot of you go through that. Please explain buffering again. I listened to the lesson, but not quite getting it in a distinction from an urge. Buffering is the result of an urge. So urge is the feeling. Buffering is the action. So buffering is overeating, overspending, over Facebooking, over drinking, over sexing, over texting, over yelling, whatever it may be. It is something over exercising. It's something that you do that has a net negative result at the end. We buffer, so like we overeat to either create an emotion or to avoid an emotion. We do it to avoid the reality of our life. Like a lot of people will overeat at night because maybe they don't like being alone. So they fill the time with food. And that they don't want to do is look at the reality of their life. Because if they have to look at the reason that they're alone is because they have so much self-judgment of themselves and they think that no one likes them in junk. Yeah, they're not going to want to be sitting there with all those thoughts. That's what happens when you take away the food. When you're not eating, it's like, what am I left with? So if I'm not buffering, a good question to ask is what would be going on? A lot of you, you will get everything you need to know about what you need to work on if you ask that question. Because for some of you, it would be, well, I would be self-developing. I would be doing all these other things. But you don't want to be self-developing. You actually want to be resting. So what would be left if you weren't eating? You're working. Not a good, that is one of the things that has happened to me. It's like, for me, if I don't have my eating, my brain automatically goes to, well, then I should be busy. I should be doing something. I should be more productive. I should be more valuable. I should be like, I have all these should be's, right? If that's all that's left, of course you're going to want to eat because you're not going to want to like get to working again. And so then you ask yourself, what do I actually need in this moment? It's like what I need at night. Like I literally need to shut it down. That's why I've quit using the phone in bed and stuff. It's like, I need to like stop bringing you guys to bed. I need to just veg out and watch television. Like I need that time. And so like buffering, I want you to think about when we look at the model, the urge is the desire to do it. So your brain sends up chemicals and it's sending up like this desire to eat or desire to do whatever so that you will buffer to avoid or create whatever it is that you need. You just got to figure out like I've somehow made an illogical connection that I need food or I need drinks or I need whatever in this moment. Logically though, how would I be solving this? Like if you're legit tired at night and you need a break and your kids have gone to bed and you need me time, logically, how would you solve that? Illogically, we're solving it with food. But logically, how would I be solving that? If I wasn't going to judge myself for just laying on the couch and not doing the dishes is a really good example. A lot of you will lay on the couch and eat and then go do the dishes rather than just saying, what if we just went a night without the dishes? What if we just laid on the couch and we didn't eat and we just sat here and experienced our self-judgment until we got to the point where we understood we didn't need to judge ourselves, period. Sometimes mama doesn't do the dishes. Sometimes mama does just lay on the couch unapologetically because she loves herself and she wants to show everyone, I love myself. We don't all have to be running around being perfect all the time and we don't die or get pregnant. I punish myself with overeating, ideas on how to stop this behavior. Sherilyn, I would take this one over to ask coaches. You need to tell yourself why you think you're punishing yourself. What do you need punishment for? Like, what is it? Like, why do you think you're punishing yourself with overeating is a good question. Another good question to answer over there is like, so this punishment, how's that working? Like, you wouldn't do it if it wasn't working somehow, right? So you need to like reconcile, this is the payoff I get for it. And I would like literally when it's something along those lines, I would totally put that into ask coaches and let them coach you. Let them do that. Take it to a call. Like a lot of you, one of the things I would love to see you guys use is more of our resources. I would take things to ask coaches, work through it a little bit with them, then show up on one of their office hours and be like, remember when I posted about this? This is where we got, and then take it to the next level. That's how I would be using some of our resources. Hang on, I gotta shut the window. Somebody's mowing. Sorry, Lily. It seriously doesn't matter what neighborhood I live in. The yards get mowed every single day, no matter what. Will you consider adding another camp this year? There is a lot of interest. I know. We have exciting things for 2020. We literally can't add another camp this year. The biggest problem is hotel space. It's the contracting about, like, seriously, y'all, I don't want to bore y'all with, like, all the details, but we have to contract space. We have to do a lot of things on the back end. That's the hardest part about putting on an event. We also have to get mentors in. For those of you who haven't come to camp, we have a mentor for about every 10 to 15 people that come that work with you before you even come to camp to make sure your group's gelled and all this other stuff. And, you know, to get, you know, like 15 more mentors or whatever for a camp, you know, it takes a lot of just vacation and all that kind of stuff. So here's the thing. No, we have a big response for camp. Next year, we have a lot of exciting things happen when it comes to events. We have heard, and we will be announcing all of that when we get contracts for next year well established. April and October of next year are finalizing, I believe, this week. So we'll have the dates up. We're not going to take registration yet, but we will have the dates up, and then we have a few more events happening next year that we will have the dates up and rolling out throughout, like, probably the fall. But just know we're working on it. And I love the events. They are my favorite. God, y'all, if we could have one every month, I would do it. Seriously, that's how much I love the events. They're like my favorite thing to do. But the hotels, just book up fast. And we do them in Nashville. I know a lot of you are like, take it on a tour, do it all over the country and stuff. I'd love to, but y'all, I spend a lot of time away from my son as it is. And for me to travel any more than I do, I just don't want to. I only got 3 more years. My son wants to be a nomad. And when he turns 19, he's got 3 more years left of school. I know the baby is going to fly the nest. And I'm just really like bent right now on spending as much time with my boys as I can. So when I have an event in Nashville, it just allows them to come and allows me to be home faster and sooner. It also keeps me healthy, to be quite honest. You know, whenever I travel, you can always tell when I've been, like, I've got to be out of town a lot the next few weeks. I get sick more often and stuff. And so it's partly just self-care. I don't want to, like, go too far into it, but I just want y'all to understand, I don't hold out on you guys because, like, I'm stingy. It's just more, like, just, I've had to, like, learn what works for me physically, what works for my family, what works for you guys, and how, and honestly, we have such a good working relationship with our hotel here that it has, like, literally champions the bar we hang out in, and the hotel itself has become, like, you know, the fifth Beatle of the events. So 9 to 10 is my witching hour. Last night I sat with my urge and drank water from 7 to 10:30. Good for you. When I finally gave in and had almonds, cheese, and a cup of hot chai tea, stopped at +2. Is it okay to feel a sense of accomplishment that I didn't eat all the things? Yeah, I think it's okay to feel a sense of accomplishment, but I also want you to feel a sense of, like, all right, I got to level this up. Like, I don't want to feel too accomplished because this behavior is not going to get me where I want to go. But there's nothing wrong with seeing, like, improvement. There's nothing wrong with recognizing what worked and what didn't work. Like, if 9 to 10 is your witching hour, get your ass in bed. You sat there with an urge until 10:30. Why weren't you just going to bed? I am always slayed with all of you that eat at night. Like, I literally this week have been in bed asleep by 8:30 or 8:45. No joke. In fact, some nights I'm sitting there disgruntled between 7:45 and 8:15 because the sun hasn't set yet. So, short of you having little kids or whatever, a lot of us could actually just go to bed. We're sitting there watching TV and shit. It's like, it's not like we're wiping noses and butts all night long. You know, for those of you who are, God love you, because this is your time. Like, I know that, like, you got to take care of business, but you should be wiping butts and you should be blowing noses and not eating. Like, you got some busy going on. It's just a matter of managing this stuff. But some of you, the first thing that I would do if I struggle with eating at night is go to bed, because the majority of you are eating because you want to relax and disconnect and all the things that an us early bedtime will do for you if you would take advantage of it. Then you can wake up earlier in the morning. Like, the last few days I've been getting up naturally at like 4:45 and 4:50, and I've loved it because I've been going to bed early. I'm gonna tell you, at 4:50 in the morning, I don't have food urges. You know what I have? Journaling, my best self, all kinds of things. Right now I wish I had a cup of coffee. King didn't make the coffee last night, and I had to, like, drink leftover coffee, and I've been subtly hinting that he should make a pot that could be a 2-cup day. He's not taking my hint yet. As someone who hasn't made it very far into the program, but I'm rededicating and going back to the Fresh Start modules, how can I incorporate working on urges while focusing on the four bases? Getting into urges is a habit I want to change. Listen to the one workshop. It's an hour long. And then go back and listen to module one. That's all you got to do. Urges fit beautifully with the four basics. When you do the four basics, guess what's going to happen? You're planning your food and your urges are going to come up. The urges module is going to teach you how to deal with the shit that comes up when you're not eating when you're emotionally hungry. That's how they work together. That's why we're doing urges this month. Because here's the thing. Urges mean if you're responding to them, you're overeating. So you're not doing your four basics. Do your four basics. All your urges can start coming up for you. And then that module teaches you how to think about them. I find that many times the urge comes in and leaves really quickly. That's good. Does this mean that I'm getting more in the habit of my thinking brain doing the work? Yep. I would, like, pray to the baby Jesus every day. Thank you. Not urge related, but I'm struggling with my thoughts this morning. My fear, my best friend may be in trouble, possibly with drugs. We live far away from each other, but strange behavior is coming up, like asking myself and others for money. Do I approach him about this? I fear it will end our friendship since, in my opinion, his husband is causing all his problems. His husband isn't causing his problems. That's your thought that you've got to drop. If your friend's doing drugs, your friend's doing drugs. Allow him to have complete ownership of that. Do not look for him. Like, don't try to figure out a way for him to not be responsible for himself. If you're doing that, that means that you have areas in your life where you're not being responsible for yourself. just like in this case. If you weren't afraid it would end the friendship, like let's say he is doing drugs and you think he's going to die because of it, you're allowing him to risk his life with drugs for fear that you will lose a friend. You're self-preserving yourself. You're putting your own personal fears, needs, wants, and desires over your friend needing to know you see this. That's what I would be thinking about. The reason why most of us are in fear is because we're always worried we're going to feel bad. The worst that's going to happen is you feel bad. That's it. Like, I'm just going to tell you, if one of my friends had a drug problem, I would trade feeling bad every single day to just tell them about it. And if they drop me as a friend, then I'm still going to love them. I'm going to love them even more from afar. The reason is because I would rather lose a friend and highlight a problem they're having than to keep a friend and sit there worried that they're going to die from drugs. That's how I do it. Let me see. What else did you say? You when you approach, you need to also do it from the right place. Before you even talk to him, you got to do your work on allowing your thought to be his friend or his boyfriend is causing the problems. His husband is causing the problems. That's not a helpful thought for you. Here's why. You don't want to tell him when you notice this drug behavior, like, oh, and let me just tell you, I really think it's your husband's problem. If you're coming at it from that place, you're not asking him to take ownership of his choices. If he's going to stop doing drugs, guess what? He's going to have to choose to stop doing drugs because he wants to. If it's really his husband's fault, then he has to divorce his husband. His husband has to change. He has to put everything outside of himself in order to not do drugs, which means that whatever problems the husband's causing, if somebody wants to do drugs, overeat, whatever it is, guess what they do? They will find problems somewhere else in life. Oh, and now that's why I'm overeating. Now that's why I'm doing drugs. External never causes anything. It's always internal in a choice, no matter what. It's going to be his choice to do the drugs. It's going to be his choice to get off them. It's going to be his choice to keep you as a friend or drop you as a friend. But it will always be his choice, just like it's going to be your choice to say something when you're afraid, to say nothing because you're not ready to say anything. But the worst thing that you can do for yourself is to sit there and think, I'm not going to talk to somebody for fear. Fear is never a good excuse to withhold any conversation. Like, let me just say, Heidi can give you great advice on this. Great advice. She's experienced in this area. I got to turn, like, my light is, like, so harsh today. Let's see. My biggest problem currently is the chips. As soon as I get home, I see them and want them. Half the time, I cannot grab them, but half the time I give in. I justify the grab ass because I'm truly hungry, but I want to wait for dinner. Man, I'm so sick of the chips ruling me. How do I stop the urge when I'm hungry? Chips are no longer a solution to hunger. Here you go. Here's how you know if you're really hungry. Go eat something else. Here's how I know you're not truly hungry, because you're eating chips. Get you a bag of broccoli. Throw that bad boy in the fridge. When you get home and you're truly hungry, eat broccoli. If you're eating broccoli, then we know you need to plan for a snack. If you're eating chips and broccoli doesn't sound good, you need to sit with your urge and wait your happy ass to dinner. Somebody's like, I knew that broccoli was coming. 24-hour plan every day that includes a breakfast option, but typically my bulletproof coffee takes me through lunch, so I don't eat it. If I get hungry much later in the day, is it okay to eat what I planned for breakfast, or is that considered an all-plan eat because of timing? I think that's fine, Karen. I would just eat whatever you had planned. I don't have a big problem with that at all. This is exactly where I'm at, the judgment. Just going through this process has opened my eyes to what I'm thinking when I overeat. I have a feeling of I'm not worth the weight loss, or I don't deserve it. Now that I've realized this, how do I fix these feelings? When I first started listening to PNP podcast in January, before I joined, I was working out, walking, and feeling the worth. I now feel unworthy. What the fuck? I know what I'm doing and thinking. How do I get unstuck? You need to answer the question. Why are you not worthy of it, and why don't you deserve it? You need to uncover those thoughts. You haven't uncovered those yet. You've just uncovered the things you think about. Like, why? Like, you need to see the reality of that. Like, you need to be like, so why do I think I'm not worth it? Why do I think I'm undeserving? Answer those questions. And whatever that is, then ask yourself, is that a story I'm willing to hang on to? And then you need to ask yourself, like, when you, like in January, when you were working out and everything, guys, I'm going to tell you something. When you joined in April and you suddenly lost momentum, it had zero to do with joining in April. All of you think that that's the case. Like, oh, you know, I joined. I should have just stayed for the free stuff. No, here's what happened. All of your like bullshit thoughts that you were hiding and having some success escaping came to the surface. They were always going to come up. This program just makes them come up faster so that you can have the tools to actually work on them. That is the difference. I think a lot of you, what you think is like, oh, like, you know, when I was doing the free stuff, it was so much easier. No, that was just a period of time. What I require you to do is actually start thinking about why you're doing things and how you're feeling and recognizing all of it. Because here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to lose all the weight and all of those thoughts and feelings are there underneath the surface, just like not feeling worthy. It was always there. Always there. What we don't want you to do is lose 100 pounds, not feel worthy, don't feel like you deserve it. Look around. You didn't create the life you wanted. You didn't change how you thought. You still felt like you had a fear of food and shit. All of that. You don't want to lose your weight and be stuck with it. Then left trying to figure it out. Because most of you won't be able to figure it out. You'll start eating to escape from it because you won't have the distraction of a diet anymore. It's so interesting we're having this conversation. So I was working with Missy yesterday, Missy Shea, the, you know, mentor and stuff. And Missy, like, she did the free program for a long time, lost a lot of weight. She kind of joined towards the end of her journey because she started realizing, like, I think I got some shit to work on here. Like, she notices that she was kind of, like, she was still afraid of food and whatnot. She was using the free stuff. The free stuff, guys, it teaches you, like, the basics. It teaches you some things, but this is why it's so different in here. So I, like, make you question everything and think deeper on stuff. And so we were talking about it last night, and I said, the reason why maintenance has been difficult for you is because I want you to think about how you lost your weight. At the end, she used to buffer with overeating. That's how she dealt with her life. Then she buffered with the dieting, and she used that to create her happy, and the weight loss, and the feedback, and all this other stuff. Then when she got to the end, guess what she had left? Her thoughts. Her life. And she didn't have any weight to lose. And she didn't want to go back to overeating. So then she had to figure it out. What most of us do is we lose all this weight. And we're sitting around not feeling needed. We don't have a distraction. The rah-rah of losing weight goes away. Like, people quit celebrating you. You get used to buying the smaller clothes. Like, you weigh in every day and it's the same. There's no more like dopamine hit from the scale going down. There's just, it's the same. Your brain starts thinking something might be going wrong. Well, you better make sure you don't change anything because for God's sakes, if you gain a pound, who knows, you might just go straight back. If all that crazy's left, when you lose all that stuff, that's when I know if somebody's gonna be able to keep their weight off or not. All the way down, you have to be working on it. So what's happening with you here is you're coming up on something that was always going to come up. You've always had a problem with not deserving it. You've always had a problem with unworth. The problem is you distracted yourself with losing the weight in the beginning to get that temporary feeling good. Well, now that it's just becoming a routine, now that's coming back up. Probably what you were eating over to begin with. And now it's coming back up. Just going on a diet doesn't solve that. I want to know the name of the woo-woo book you mentioned about timing and Ayurveda yoga stuff. I love me some woo-woo. What is the name? It's on my phone. It is, we'll have to post it in the comments later. I don't think I have it in the kids store. but it's in my phone. So that's why I can't look at it, because it's in my Audible account. So we will look. I don't know if I can. Does anybody know if I can go to Audible on? I never go to Audible online, but I'm sure I can. Hang on. Let me just see real quick. My library. Let me read the next. Well, this is not my library. Yeah, it is. Change your schedule, change your life. How to harness the power of clock genes to lose your weight, optimize your workout, and finally, hang on, it's got a long ass title. It cuts off, and let's see, and finally get a good night's sleep. That might be the longest title I've ever done. And then the doctor's name is terrible. Dr. Suhas. That's the first name, Suhas. And then the last one, I will never even know how to say. K-S-H-I-R-S-A-G-A-R. Wow. So, if it has, so Michelle Seaton and Deepak Chopra, they do the foreword. Look for that. But it's basically change your schedule, change your life. Look that up in Amazon. I've actually enjoyed it. I wanted to understand all this clock gene stuff, like optimizing your sleep and your workout and junk. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm like optimizing the heck out of it. I'm an April baby. I'm learning so much, but have slipped right back into my own BS ways. You didn't slip. You chose to go back there. Let's never talk that we slide, we fall, we get pulled into. None of that ever happens. Y'all just be confident enough to say, like, I chose to go back to what I was doing. Period. That's it. I sat down to journal and I just cry. My mind literally feels blank. Sadness for not showing up for myself. Well, it's not blank. You know why you're crying. Is a cycle in my life and my motivation stalls. Do you have any advice on where to start first? Yeah. Like, you're sitting here like, why do I not show up for myself? How would I like to be showing up for myself? If I wasn't judging myself, what are the things I would love to think and believe about myself? Those are some good questions. I would just, April baby, I would just go, do you know we have journal prompts? We'll just start answering those every day. If it sounds like you also have some self-worth stuff going on, because you're like, if you think you're not showing up for yourself, I would probably go to the self-love course and look at the 31 days of journal prompts. If your mind's going blank, print just those off and do them for 31 days. You don't even have to go through the course to use journal prompts, y'all. We have journal prompts in almost every course that I put out. If you're ever at a loss on what to write about, go to those. Print them off. Every 31 days, just start them over. You can also go to Pinterest. Guys, you never have to be at a loss for what to journal about. All you need to do is go to Pinterest and look for something like 30 weight loss journal prompts, 30 self-worth journal prompts, 30 motivational journal prompts. Just type those things in, print some off, put it in your PNP binder. Then every day, here's how I would do it. Boom, this is the one. Let it be that random. That's how I would do it. I don't think you guys need to like get too complicated with it. Let me see if this book, y'all can't order this book, by the way. Somebody's going to ask me. No, this one doesn't have journal prompts in it. I thought it would. A lot of these do, but this one doesn't. No, this one doesn't. This is a self-confidence work for the month of June in Scholars. I would just do some of that. You can come into the group and just say, like, what are your, like, list your top three TDL questions you love to ask yourself. Then you'll have like a list of all of them. Print it, like just type it up, print it, put it in your binder. Then you always have things to journal on. Guys, never use the excuse, my mind goes blank. Get a prompt. Your mind is never blank. The only way that your mind is blank is if you die. Now you may be sitting around not willing to wait it out and be so busy judging yourself that you end up shutting yourself down. There's a big difference. But, you know, I just would sit there and I'd print some stuff off. A smaller planner, we are not releasing that smaller planner until the new planner releases. It's probably going to be, so I would imagine it's going to be July or August. I am in the works. Like, I just sent another round of edits off to the designer, like 2 days ago. And I'm getting ready to print it myself and use it for a solid week to see if I like all the questions. I've redesigned things. Speaking of journal prompts, every day has like a guided journal entry for every day. Anyway, so it'll probably be a little bit, but there's a lot, if you just post in the group, there's a lot of people who just take our current one and they just take it to a printer and they just shrink it down. So you can always do that and have it spiral bound yourself until we get ready to sell the smaller one. I'm not sure when the camp mentors are going to be assigned. Mary Jo knows all of that stuff. And the hotel block is going to be opening up, I think, sometime today or tomorrow for all of you who got into October camp. So those are a few exciting things. And guys, I think that's it. So just remember, our newbies are coming in. Probably we start letting them in. I think we're going to start letting them. I'm not really sure when we're going to start letting them in. It's either going to be Saturday, Sunday, or Monday, somewhere in that range. So just know, as always, the first few days or the first week, there's going to be a lot of people coming in here nervous as fuck, thinking they won't fit in, all that kind of stuff. Guys, remember, everybody fits in here. We are not cliquish. Now, we have a lot of Marco Polo gangs in here, but people have found their little people and they rely on each other. It's not because we have cliques and we're just like, ugh. It's not like we have like the top Marco Polo gang in the group. We're just really big on making sure that everybody here finds people that support them and love them and challenge them and ask more of them. So, like, anytime you want an accountability partner, you can get one. But these girls are going to walk in like it's the first day of high school. Some of them are going to be like, oh my God, I'm so glad to be in high school. Like, they just love it. Some of them are going to be going back to high school and remembering what it was like for them if they're like me. And they're immediately going to feel judged. They're immediately going to feel like they don't fit in. They're going to be looking for problems. Please have compassion. Please don't judge them for that. They don't know how great we are yet. We have to show them how great we are. They have not been through no BS. They won't even get to the model for 4 weeks. To them, everything they think is reality. Hell, half of us in here still get caught up. I was preaching to y'all today. We still think what we think is reality. So just remember that they're new and they're nervous and they're going to have a lot of questions. And that first week is always the busiest. Then after that, it just starts feeling normal again. And we just get into a roll and all that kind of stuff. So the one thing I love most about our tribe is we are so unlike every other group out there. I belong to a lot of them. And we just do such a good job of honoring each other, because we all understand it's our own thoughts and feelings. And we have compassion for people who don't understand that part yet. So they'll be coming. If you're a Game of Thrones person, the newbies are coming. For all my April babies, you get to still call yourself an April baby. If you're a January baby, you still get to be a January baby. After you've been here a year, though, you're pretty much a toddler or a teenager. You just got to decide which one you want to be. But it's just a special time. I love newbie enthusiasm. It'll be good for all of us for this summer, especially next month when we're going to be doing the Gift of Fat Month, where I am working on all of our challenges and all of our fun and all the things we're going to do to make weight loss super fun and super productive next month. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.